Welcome to the Magical Elections Podcast. My name is Nina Griffin. I'm a traditional astrologer and magician. And this podcast is all about the art of using astrology to improve your magical results. First, I'll explain a little bit about what electional magic or astrological magic is. Then we will talk about the Magical Elections newsletter, the May issue, and some of the key elections that I have put in there. I wanted to also spend a little bit of time talking about my preparations for a magical ritual that I'm planning for next week. It's something I haven't really tried before, so I didn't include it in my newsletter. I try not to experiment on my readers too much. So I'll discuss some of the considerations that will go into my decisions for that ritual. And then finally, we will talk about a few tips and techniques for transferring elections to your own location. If you haven't encountered astrological magic before, or magical elections, I'll give you a quick explanation so you understand how this fits into the larger world of magic and astrology. One of the reasons that there aren't very many people who do magical elections is that you have to have a pretty good mastery of astrology, and specifically electional astrology, as well as magic. And it's often enough to just try to master one of these things in a lifetime. If you get one of them wrong, you will not have a very effective magical ritual, which is the whole point of astrological magic. Astrological magic uses the principles of electional astrology to find the best time to perform a magical ritual. Astrological elections, as such, are usually used for mundane purposes, such as finding the best time to start a business or do a deal or get married, and so on. Magical elections take this to another level and utilize astrology to time a particular kind of ritual. Some of the same principles apply as in electional astrology, but we do have to take additional factors into consideration. My focus is on astrological magic as it was practiced about 2,000 years ago until about the 19th century, as far as we know. We are starting to be very fortunate in that there are many texts that were not available to our predecessors that are now newly translated into modern languages. And in the past, they simply were either not translated or they were just hidden and lost. One such text, of course, is the Picatrix, which has historically been known as a terribly evil manual of magic, whereas in reality, it's a 10th century document from Andalusian Arab times, written by a Quranic scholar who also dabbled, or I should say, was deeply proficient in astrological magic. This text, of course, is now about 1,000 years old, and it went through a number of changes and translations. It was translated into Latin in the 13th century, but in the process, some of the more Islamic characteristics of the text were wiped out because, of course, that was not acceptable in a Christian text intended for a Christian audience. Since then, the document was on the list of the Vatican's forbidden books, and it was only in the last several years that good translations of it into English became available. It had since been translated into German, French, and other Western languages, but even though English still sees the greatest number of books published, for whatever reason, it took a number of years for an English translation to become available. There is a recent scholarly translation of Picatrix now available, which I highly recommend, both for its content and also for its very sturdy formatting. As a reference book, you will use it a lot. The May issue of the Magical Elections newsletter has a number of, I would say, very solid talismans in it. It contains an election for Venus in Taurus, which is, of course, a talisman for love, sex, the arts, everything Venusian. It has a really nice election for Pleiades, which is a fixed star talisman. It's a particularly magic-y talisman. The goal for a Pleiades talisman is to assemble spirits, find hidden things, and increase the light of the eyes. So a lot of it seems to have to do with things like clairvoyance and magical skills. There's also an election for Aldebaran, another fixed star, and this one is more straightforward in that it's supposed to bring riches and honors. Aldebaran in particular has a strong pursuing kind of feeling. The Aldebaran star's myth or legend is that it chased the Pleiades around the sky. There was a very nice talisman, a talismanic election for the first decan of Gemini this month. This is a very strong decan for science and learning, so if you want to succeed in any of these fields, or perhaps you want somebody else in your life to succeed in these fields, you can make this particular talisman. The other interesting thing is that this one also features Mercury in Gemini, Kazimi the Sun. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about Mercury Kazimi, because it is something that doesn't happen too often, and many of my clients like to ask about it and keep an eye out for it. When a planet is Kazimi, it means it is only 16 minutes from exact conjunction with the Sun. It means that this moment passes relatively quickly. When any planet is Kazimi, it is considered to be in the heart of the Sun, and therefore extremely strengthened by this connection. In my experience, Kazimi is both good and bad in that it shows a planet is being purged or purified, kind of like in a metal smolting furnace, in order to be reborn again. So it's very useful for talismans when you want to have a new beginning, although the process of going through the new beginning can actually be quite difficult and even traumatic. So I just want to make clear to people that Kazimi isn't all rainbows and unicorns. There are definitely difficulties associated with it, even though what comes out on the other side tends to be a new beginning and the opportunity to start afresh. This year, Mercury Kazimi is a little bit of a challenge, because when Mercury is in the Kazimi zone, which is again for a pretty short time, the moon is applying to an opposition of Mars. And even though this is not a moon talisman, we do very much care for every talisman about the moon's condition. And an opposition to a malefic like Mars makes this talisman particularly challenging and even malefic in some ways. This is why I recommended in my newsletter that if you want to use the Kazimi election, just be aware that it could have an unintended negative consequence this year. You may want to, for example, make the talisman in a material that is easy to destroy, such as paper, just in case it doesn't work out for you the way that you had planned. The alternative is that you can wait until Mercury is just past the Kazimi zone, but then the moon will have moved on past that opposition to Mars. So those are the two options we have. It's not perfect, but I think it's worth highlighting some of the pluses and minuses of the election. The newsletter, as I pose it, gives you ideas to do elections and magical elections on your own. And in my opinion, there is no such thing as a perfect election. Sometimes some astrologers who do elections get a little bit, their egos get a little bit tied up with what they're doing, and they have a hard time highlighting some of the negative aspects of an election. And yet, every election has something challenging or negative about it. It's more a question of what are you willing to give up in order to be able to do a particular election or magical talisman. So my emphasis is always on making sure that you can tell what the pluses and minuses are so that you can make an informed decision about whether this particular election is right for you. The last talisman that I discuss this month is the 10th lunar mansion, which is for health and vitality. Now, as I always say, it's important that you use any kind of health talismans in conjunction with proper medical treatment. Our ancestors did not have proper medical treatment for the most part, and look what happened to them. People had a very, very short lifespan. If you only use magical elections for your health, it's not going to work, right? You have to use it in conjunction with physical and real treatment to make yourself feel better. One of the questions that I got from someone who hadn't yet bought the May issue of Magical Elections is, what's in it? And that's a good question because there are a lot of features in there other than dates and times for elections. The way that I wrote it is that hopefully you are a little bit of an experienced magician or astrologer. But beyond that, you don't necessarily need to look up any of the information that you would need to do a particular ritual. So for example, on the Venus talisman in Taurus, it tells you the time and the date, and it shows you the chart for that particular election. But it also shows you the appropriate planetary materials, the appropriate planetary spirits and angels that need to be invoked in order to have a successful ritual, the magical image that is associated with that planet, star, decan, or lunar mansion. This is an image that you would typically draw or engrave on your talismanic material, and it's a vital part of creating a talisman. And it also has information about herbs and similar substances that are usually used as incense or in other ways for that particular ritual. I also like to put in information from traditional texts so that you can see some of the primary sources if there is any discussion. Now, I want to talk about an election that I found for this month that I did not include in magical elections because it's simply not something that I have tried before. And again, I don't feel very comfortable putting things in the Magical Elections newsletter if I have no idea how they're going to turn out. I prefer to experiment on myself, and then if things turn out well, I let you know. I suppose even if they don't turn out well, I should let you know as well. This particular experiment is the 11th lunar mansion called Al-Zubra, Lion's Mane. And if you're not familiar with lunar mansions, you can certainly Google it, but the general idea is that there are 28 segments of the zodiac. They're kind of unequal, and they're usually named for different stars. We typically use the Arabic names for these stars. And as the moon travels through these different segments, each of the segments is called a mansion, and it has different magical qualities and properties. So for example, one election for lunar mansions that I use quite a bit myself, and I also like to promote it on the newsletter because I have found it to be so effective, is the third lunar mansion, which is usually invoked for abundance and financial success. Very simple. The one that I'm going to try next week is the Al-Zubra, as I mentioned, and it is between 8 degrees and 21 degrees of Leo. Now, because it's called the Lion's Mane, you can probably imagine that it has something to do with maybe royalty, vitality, power, everything that is mythologically and astrologically associated with the lion. The image for it is the crowned warrior on a lion, as in sitting on a lion, holding the lion's ear with a left hand and a circlet, meaning like a lightweight crown, with a right hand. So definitely there are two crowns in this picture, in fact. And there's also an element of conquest, because of course it's not easy to ride a lion. Usually lions object to that kind of thing. And also there's this sense that there are many descriptions of what this mansion actually does, and most of them are fairly positive. So I'll read you some of the descriptions from the Picatrix, for example. In this mansion, you're supposed to make images to liberate captives, to position armies outside cities and villages. So I guess if you want to besiege someone, this is an opportunity to do so. To organize trade and the wealth that it yields, to protect travelers on the road, to reinforce buildings for stability, and to increase the wealth of one's friends. Now, Nigel Jackson, who has a wonderful book about celestial magic from, I think, 2003, says that this is a great mansion to use for an increase in charisma and, you know, bending people to your will, that kind of thing. I am very interested to try it, and I will have to think about exactly what I want to achieve. I always recommend, even when you're trying a new talisman and you're not totally sure what it's supposed to do, pick something clear, because that way it's the only way you will know whether that talisman worked for you or not. When this talisman is made, I intend to work with it for the next few months. Because lunar mansions tend to do very well on a repeated basis, in other words, you have to time every month when the moon passes through that same mansion once you've made your talisman the first time, and then you reinvoke the spirit, you let them know what went wrong or right, you thank them for their help, hopefully they have been helpful, and then you ask for something for the future. That's been my experience, and that seems to work pretty well. According to Nigel Jackson, who is approaching the lunar mansions through a particularly artistic lens, the color associated with this mansion is saffron gold, which of course seems to be very closely connected to the fiery energy of Leo and the lion that is part of the image. So this is a color that I'm going to use in my watercolor talisman for this particular lunar mansion next week. Finally, we will talk about just how to transfer elections to your particular location. The elections in the Magical Elections newsletter are all set for my location, which is Los Angeles, California. Now, what if you live somewhere completely different? Don't be afraid. It's very simple. What you do is you simply take my election and you click forward or backward in your software until you get the same ascendant degree in your location. Now, depending on how far away you are from me, the moon may have moved. And this can be important because in any election, magical or not, the moon's next applying aspect is quite critical to the success of the election. It's very different if, as I explained earlier, for example, with Mercury Kazemi, you have the moon opposing Mars, but then if you change the location of the chart, the moon is now trine Venus. It's a completely different ballgame. So what I recommend is first make sure that you get that ascendant degree alignment with the chart set for your location, and then confirm that the moon is still behaving as it ought to. It may mean that you may not be able to use some elections. In general, it's not a huge issue, but it's always a good thing to double check. This was the Magical Elections Podcast. I am Nina Griffin. You can visit me at ninagriffin.com. If you're interested in the Magical Elections newsletter, it's right there on ninagriffin.com under Magical Elections. Thank you, and until next time, I'm Nina Griffin.